Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
When I went off to college, my mother packed me so many bottles of calcium tablets. Now, of course, I was naive and I didn't realize the importance, and I think they expired years later, but she meant well. And she just was like, calcium, 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 calcium. And looking back, I'm wondering why she didn't mention magnesium, 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 because apparently magnesium is an incredible thing. And here to talk about this is Carolyn Dean, MD, ND. She's a medical doctor and a naturopath. She's the author of 110 Kindle books and 33 health books covering a wide variety of topics, including the magnesium miracle. Dr. Dean, so thrilled to have you here on Talk Healthy Today.
Thank you, Lisa. Great to be here. Call me Carolyn, please.
Oh, okay. Well, Carolyn, you know, I still feel guilty that I didn't take all that calcium, but I remember my mother just going on and on about it. And I'm wondering if, you know, the tides have changed. I mean, let's just say this was a long time ago, and maybe there wasn't as much information out there about magnesium, but I would love for you to, first of all, jump in. Why is magnesium so important? And then we'll talk about all the great ways we can get it through food and supplements, and what got you interested in it.
Yes, a huge list of topics there. First of all, when doctors got involved with osteoporosis, they just began to think, well, bones are made of calcium, so we better push calcium. And it's probably the only preventive thing that they've done, but it's not such a great thing. As it turns out, there's probably a dozen studies now that show that women who just simply take calcium supplements are at higher risk for heart disease, because when you take calcium without the balancing aspect of magnesium, calcium can actually precipitate in tissues and cause the buildup of atherosclerosis in the arteries and, you know, the carotid arteries, the heart, coronary arteries, the kidney, renal arteries. So we're getting all this calcification, and calcification even to the point of breast tissue calcification, which is very, it's a serious condition, because doctors treat it as if it's a pre-cancer, and they start doing biopsies and even surgery on this non-cancer issue of calcification. But anyway, So calcium just get promoted. It's like it's the star, you know, it's the one thing that you really need. But then when you look at bones, they need a lot of other things. Collagen is one thing. They need several minerals, but it's magnesium that makes the bones be a little more supple, less brittle. If you just have a calcium carbonate in your bones, that's a piece of chalk, you drop it on the floor and it'll shatter. And magnesium never really made mainstream, because it's hard to measure it in the blood. So doctors measure a serum magnesium, and in order to keep the heart in good rhythm, like there's a balance of the contraction of calcium on the muscles and the relaxation of magnesium on the muscles. And if there's too much calcium, it's just a straight contraction, to the point that in the heart you can get angina or even heart attack. So to keep the heart in a good balance, then the serum magnesium always tries to stay within a certain normal range. So when doctors test the serum magnesium, they always see that normal range and say, oh, yeah, the magnesium is fine. And yet you have someone in front of you who has all the magnesium deficiency symptoms of migraines, twitching muscles, muscle spasms, esophageal reflux. The list goes on to dozens and dozens of symptoms. I would say simply because there's no good blood test for magnesium status.
You know, I have to say now I'm kind of glad I didn't take all that calcium.
Yeah.
You were saying about
smart
the heart
girl.
and the breast. I didn't read the fine print. Maybe it had magnesium, but it sounds like what's really important is making sure that you get your magnesium. Now, tell us some of those symptoms again that can tell you if you're having a magnesium imbalance or you're not getting enough magnesium.
Yes, I mean, there's such a range of them, and what you look at is what makes muscles tighten, and it can be infertility, where the fallopian tubes go into spasm because of lack of magnesium. Mm-hmm. So it can be acid reflux, where your lower esophageal muscles are in spasm, adrenal fatigue, aging, angina, anxiety, atrial fibrillation, high blood pressure, as I said, calcium deposits in your arteries, high cholesterol, constipation, depression, diabetes type 2, fibromyalgia, headaches, heart attacks, IBS, inflammation of any kind, insomnia, kidney stones, migraines, muscle spasms, nerve twitches, PMS, seizures, and poor recovery from sports injuries. And that's only a handful. I have a list. I have a blog called Gauging Magnesium Deficiency, and I have 100 factors that can lead to magnesium deficiency.
Wow, that is astonishing. I mean, that is a long list of ailments.
Yeah, yes, and very common ones. And what happens is people end up taking drugs for magnesium deficiency symptoms and making things much worse, because most drugs deplete magnesium. There's even black box warnings now on things like protein pump inhibitors for heartburn and reflux that say, well, if you take this, you're going to deplete your magnesium. There are a lot of drugs now to make the drugs stronger. They put fluoride into drugs. They attach a fluoride molecule in order to make it go across lipid or fat membranes. Our cells are surrounded by fat. So in order to get into those cells to do their job, they put fluoride in these compounds and come to find out that fluoride binds with magnesium, makes it unavailable to the body's 700, 800 processes that require magnesium, and turns it into a brittle compound that deposits in bones and tendons and muscles. So with a lot of the fluoroquinolones, the fluoro part is the fluoride, fluoroquinolone antibiotics like Cipro, they have fluoride molecules, and they cause tendon rupture as one of their side effects. So the tendon rupture, they just think, oh, it comes out of the clear blue, but the doctors aren't even equating it with magnesium deficiency, and we're finding that good therapeutic magnesium can start to undo those side effects from fluoroquinolone toxicity.
Well, I'm glad you just mentioned that, because there are some people that obviously need that dose you were talking about for if you have some kind of toxicity. But let's, before we jump into that, what does the average person need? Is it by weight? Is it by height? Is it by age? How does that work for like a typical, let's say a 40-year-old woman? Does it depend on how tall she is, her weight? How does that work?
Yes, that's a good point, because our RDAs are just set on age. And the RDA for magnesium is 350, 400 milligrams. And I think that's too low. I'd say at least 600 milligrams. But what we're finding when I'm looking at the clinical application of enough magnesium to do the job, we look at people and their list of health complaints. Of, you know, if you've got migraines and muscle twitches and atrial fibrillation, well, first of all, you're going to be on a lot of medications, so you're going to be toxic from that. You're going to be burning off your magnesium from the drugs. And also, you're expressing severe magnesium deficiency symptoms, and so you don't have any magnesium stores. Just a sidebar, 100 years ago, we could get 500 milligrams of magnesium in our diet. Now we're lucky to get 200. That's why I promote the supplementation of magnesium. So in terms of dosage, I'll take my case. I have heart palpitations, or I used to, and really bad Charlie horse leg cramps and some insomnia and muscle aches and pains, etc. And I had to take 1,200 milligrams of a non-laxative magnesium that I work with for about a year before I became saturated enough that I started to slowly get a bit of laxative effect, because my body was sufficiently covered. And I find, and I'm not a big person, and I find that everybody has a different amount of magnesium that they require, but you set the standard with the number of drugs you're taking and the number of magnesium deficiency conditions that you have.
Now, you just mentioned the laxative effect. You take one that doesn't cause that. Do the majority of magnesiums out there cause a laxative effect if you take too much?
Yes, they do, Lisa, and that's what got me into this, the therapeutic use of magnesium. When I started using a non-laxative magnesium, I actually received an award from the Heart Rhythm Society in the UK. They're a huge international organization that tries to educate doctors about heart rhythm problems. And I received the Arrhythmia Alliance Outstanding Medical Contribution to Cardiac Rhythm Management Services Award 2012.
Because congratulations.
Thank you. Because of reports of me working with atrial fibrillation and serious heart conditions. What happens when you have an arrhythmia? You're immediately put on a number of medications, blood thinners and heart medications to prevent you from getting worse. And it's something that doctors say, something meaning the atrial fibrillation is a condition that doctors say is incurable. And what I'm finding is if you can take enough magnesium and you don't get the laxative effect from it, then you can get a therapeutic level of magnesium that quote, cures your condition. See, what happened many years ago is a very brilliant owner of a magnesium oxide company, she gave free product to researchers who were doing research on magnesium. So magnesium oxide, it turns out, is very laxative. Only 4% of it is absorbed. And doctors were prescribing this magnesium, and people just stopped taking it because they got diarrhea. And that's where doctors developed the notion that magnesium, it's not showing up in the blood as being low, as I mentioned before, and it is a laxative. So they just began turning to more and more drugs for the symptoms of what we now know are magnesium deficiency.
Well, thank goodness that they have better magnesiums now that aren't causing those issues. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Carolyn, so I'd love for you to jump into the products that you recommend. And also, can we get it through food? I understand we can, but I understand that you'd have to eat a heck of a lot of the things that have magnesium to get enough.
Yes, as I mentioned, Lisa, we're only getting 200 milligrams, and I'm saying we need at least 600, and sometimes 1,000 in order to overcome certain conditions. And yes, my magnesium research led me to develop a magnesium that is non-laxative because I have IBS issues and I have all these magnesium deficiency symptoms. So most magnesiums cause a laxative effect in me. And what is that saying? Necessity is the mother of invention, and I could not get a magnesium company to make or research a non-laxative magnesium, and I finally did it myself. It's called REMAG, R-E, capital M-A-G, and what makes it so effective, it's broken down into picometer size, but it's also a stabilized ion of magnesium, and it's the ions that are absorbed into the cells. So they go straight into the cells. I also recommend people take some unrefined sea salt in their water. They can look me up and find my guidelines. But the minerals in the unrefined sea salt, the REMAG, and I also work with a multiple mineral called REMITE. When minerals get inside the cells, they start making the cells function properly in their thousands of chemical processes. And they also pull water in behind them. So you'll get water in your cells, hydrating your cells. People say they have less tissue edema in their ankles. They don't get up to use the bathroom at night because the water is going inside the cells and doing what it should do. And it sounds so basic, and it sounds almost too simplistic, but I've had such miracles happening with people who get the right amount of minerals, especially the magnesium, on all the levels of illness that I've mentioned previously.
Oh, that is so fantastic. Well, Carolyn, how do we find your great products and your blogs and all the info that you have on magnesium, your books, everything?
Thank you, Lisa. People can go to drcarolyndean.com, and I have a free newsletter. I have an online wellness program, and I blog all the time. A lot of it's about magnesium, but I'm trying to get the world on magnesium. And on that site, you can click to my product site as well. But just remember drcarolyndean.com.
That is fantastic. Dr. Dean or Carolyn, I am so excited I had you on today, because I think this is something that people don't talk enough about. And I have to say, if I was going to college nowadays, my mother would probably have packed me lots and lots of magnesium. And next time I will take her advice. I want to thank everybody for listening to Talk Healthy today. I would love for you to go to iTunes and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can like and review, rate and review. It makes a huge difference. Everybody take their magnesium, check out Carolyn Dean, and have a great day. Stay well.